Tomorrow, Parakeh, Mishnah Gimel 5:3. Here the setup is we have an animal which is pregnant, cow, goat, or sheep, and a person is going to be consecrating the mother with an attempt to make the fetus inside have a different status than its mother in terms of what kind of korban. So we said previously that the fetus on the inside will get its status from its mother, but we had two cases there. One was where the animal got pregnant afterwards, and that was a machlokas tanaim. That's, we saw that previously in the Mishnayos. We're not talking about that now. We're talking about a situation where the animal is already pregnant. And there, we did have a separate machlokas. We talked about how there's a discussion if the fetus inside the mother is kiyerech imo, it's like another part, like a limb of the mother, or if it's own separate organism. They're two separate organisms. And because of that, we're not going to discuss the, we're not going to resolve that machlokas, but because everyone agrees that the fetus in utero inside the mother can potentially derive status from the mother, we're going to discuss what happens if a person attempts to consecrate the mother and the fetus with two different statuses, two different kinds of korbanos. So the first case to mention is the baseline. It's simple. Ha'omer, if one says, v'lada shel zu ola, the fetus inside the mother, that should be an ola, v'hi shlamim, but the mother itself should be a shlamim. So devarav kama, that's going to work just fine, meaning, indeed, the mother and fetus have two different statuses, and there's no question here that that's going to work, because by first designating the fetus, it has a mother who's chulin, and just the fetus inside will be coming out as a consecrated to be a korban. So if we then consecrate the mother separately, there's no possibility of that now, that mother status also spreading or devolving onto the child, because the child already is pre-designated, and you can't, once you're one status, you can't get a different status in terms of korbanos. You can't be, you know, if you're type A, you can't then become a type B. That's simple. But what happens if the person says, regarding his pregnant cow, goat, or sheep, he shlamim uvlada ola. I want the mother to be type A and the fetus inside to be type B. Well, reizu vlad shlamim divrameh. Ramirez says, then both the mother, who's now designated as type A, will also, and the child also, the fetus inside will also be type A. In this case, the shlamim. And the second thing that the person said, that the fetus should be type B, just has no impact. Now, the reason why that's the case is because Rabbi Meir holds, in general, what's called tafos lashon rishon. When a person says a statement, a compound statement, which has two parts to it, and the second part is sort of incompatible with the first part, so then, or potentially contradictory to the first part, so then we say, listen, what he said first is what he meant, what stands, and that took hold, and the second thing has no consequence. And therefore, since the person said the mother in front of him should be type A, automatically that will mean that the animal inside of it, the fetus, will also be type A. And then even if he says a moment later and the fetus should be type B, it's too late. It got type A status. Now, this doesn't resolve the question of whether the fetus in utero is kiyerech imo, lav kiyerech imo. It's whether it's like just a part, like another limb, if you will, of the mother, or its own separate organism. Because either way, when he consecrates the whole animal, he's consecrating both mother and what's inside the mother, either way. There is an argument to be made, however, that the fact that the Mishnah says harezu vlad shlamim, as opposed to simply saying harezu shlamim, that it's a vlad shlamim. Vlad shlamim means it's subordinate to the mother, and that would really suggest yerech imo talk. But the Gemara asked that question, and it says, oh, not, that's true, but Rav made inquiries, and he found out that there's another version of the Mishnah, which other people have memorized, and in fact, the other version takes the word vlad out, so therefore we can't bring a proof to that topic either way. In any case, the main point here is that Rabbi Meir holds that the principle is tafus lashon rishon. If you said two things, the first is what stands, and the second thing can't undo it. However, Am Rabbi Yossi, im lachenis kaven metchila, if from the outset, when he said the mother should be type A and the fetus inside her should be type B, he had intention to have that compound thought, both those clauses. So then, hol v'yivshar likros shnei shemus ka'achas, since it's impossible for him to say two things at the same time. He had to talk about the mother and the child as two separate sentences. He has one mouth. He only speaks sort of, you know, in series, one after the other. So therefore, devar kiyamin, both his first declaration regarding the mother and the second declaration, which came on the heels of it, regarding the fetus, will both stand. This is because Rabbi Yossi holds in general, the principle is, af begemar devar of Adam nitfas. What a person says second also has consequence. It also takes hold. So what this means in practice is, if when he said the mother is type A, he in his mind already was thinking, well, yes, the mother type A, but I'm about to say in a moment that the fetus should be type B, and I don't want to include it in that declaration. So then, yes, that's going to be binding and it's going to be effective. And that's why we actually would have to ask him. We'd say, listen, when you said mother should be type A and fetus should be type B, did you mean that when you said type A, you were already going to, you had the fetus in mind to be type B? Or did you first say mother should be type A and then you had a second thought, oh gosh, and I want the fetus to be type B? If you thought that a second later, so then you'd have, it wouldn't be effective. Okay, so it has to be that you were having kavana for the second thought when you said the first of the two in the compound thought. And that's what Mishnah says explicitly here. It says, "Vim misha ama harezu shlamim nimlach." If he originally said that it should be type A, shlamim, and then he nimlach, he changed his mind, va'amar, and he had his second thought, vlada ola, harezu vlad shlamim. And then he said, secondly, oh, you know what? He was thinking in his mind, he said, oh gosh, the Vlad let it be different. And he's designated the Vlad, the fetus, to be type B. That's not going to be effective, meaning both the mother and fetus to be both type A, in this case, the Shlomim. So that's straightforward. The question one could ask is, once we said the first half of Rabbi Yossi's statement, what do we need the second half for? In other words, just look at it again. If he had from the outset intended both, when he said regarding the mother, he meant also to exclude the baby, and he's going to say the fetus is type B. Since he couldn't say two things at once, what he said stands. So that would imply, of course, and if he didn't mean that, then it wouldn't stand. And yet the Mishnah says it explicitly. If he changes his mind, if he changed his mind and said, oh yeah, let the fetus be type B, then that doesn't work. We knew that already. So why is it saying that also? That's because Rabbi Yossi is coming to tell you that the rules of Toch Kedei Dibur don't apply in the context of being Makdish animals, and we'll see in the next Mishnah, nor do they apply in the context of Tamura. In other words, there's a general principle that when someone says something, sometimes, you know, his mouth, or in fact, matter, his body, gets a little ahead of his brain, and after he says it, a second later, his brain says, oh no, that's not what you meant, say something else. And then the halacha is, if he restates what he meant in a corrected way, within a very short period of time called Toch Kedei Dibur, the amount of time it takes to speak. The different shittas if that means the amount of time it takes to say Shalom Alecha or Shalom Alecha Rebbe or Shalom Alecha Rebbe Yomori. I think the posts are quite lenient now to exclude the longer one. Shalom Alecha Rebbe Yomori, which is like 2 seconds, let's say. So if within those 2 seconds you state something else, you can undo what you said normally. So just for example, you pick up a glass of water, you make a bracha, Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, Borei Pri Ha'Eitz, and then you think, oh no, it's not from Nates, it's a shakol. And therefore you say, no, shakol ni bavaro. You reinsert the words, correcting yourself. So does that work? Is that effective in making bracha? Can you drink now from the water? The answer is, well, if you said shakol ni bavaro within toch kedei dibor of the brei pri eitz, yes, you can restate it and it is, yes, effective. Okay, so that's a general rule. But the Gemara Nedarim says it doesn't apply in certain places. Notably, it doesn't apply for being mekadesh and isha, or being Megaresh and Isha, or being Megadef, cursing Hashem, or Avodah Zarah. These 4 cases, it doesn't apply. And the Rishonim speak out. The reason why is because sometimes, yes, your brain gets ahead of your mouth, but not on heavy-duty things like cursing Hashem, Chalila, or you know, marrying a woman. And similarly over here, too, the Mishnah is adding to that list. We're saying that to being Makdish something, it also is something which doesn't, the rules of Toch, the Dibur, do not apply. Therefore, the Halacha follows Rabbi Yossi, and therefore, if someone said a double thought, and the second is not really compatible with the first, or contradicts potentially, we'd actually ask him, what did you mean? And we believe in what he says. If he ever changed his mind after the first instance, even if he changed his mind and said something different within Toch Kedei Dibur, that, you know, 2 second time frame, it doesn't matter in the context of being Makdish consecrating animals. The first thing stands, there's no such thing as Toch Kedei Dibur.